Woodrow Kroll here. When you train one pastor in Ecuador, some donor friends are standing by to train a second pastor.
Call 833-443-5467 or go online at trainapastor.com.
Every gift counts, and now every gift is doubled. Trainapastor.com.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
What happened to Noah's sons, wives, parents?
Well, only 8 people were on the ark. They weren't there, so they perished.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
8's the number of new beginnings. A lot of people don't know this. So the males were circumcised on the 8th day. And in Greek, when you have letters, you also have numbers. It's just one set of characters used for letters and numbers. So when you write a word, like the word fish, you know, ichthus, add up all the letters, it's 1,224. Well, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ, is 888, 888. So Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, which is the 8th day. 7 days a week and then one more day, but that's the first day of the week, the 8th. 888, so it's a symbolic number as well.
Number 5.
There are times in the Bible when it's appropriate to call people names. Jesus called people hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, lawless, vipers, serpents, and things like that. So when people are unrighteous, as Jesus did, and Paul did also, it's appropriate to call them what they are, to identify them for what they are. Now, if someone is a murderer or an abortion doctor, we should think of them as evil people who have done evil things. Now they repent, come to Christ, praise God. But we should also think of them with pity and with sorrow because they are lost and they need the truth. And so, because of that, we should pray for them and work with them and help them to seek the truth and find it in Jesus Christ so they can repent of their foolishness and come to Christ.
Number 4.
So my question was, and see if you can give me an adequate answer that I would accept.
Okay.
Why would God create people knowing already that they're going to go to hell?
I would counter your question with another question. Why would God create anybody so they can go to heaven? Because both are by his sovereign decree and his sovereign will. People go to hell because God has chosen not to save them from their sins. And people say, well, no, Matt, you got it wrong. It's up to their free will. No, it's not. Because the unbeliever's free will is enslaved to sinfulness. You know, Romans 6, 14 through 20 talks about this. Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12 says they don't seek for God. They do no good. They're dead in their sins. Ephesians 2, 1. They're haters of God.
Number 3.
When Paul is saying that a woman can teach or accept authority over a man, and then he used the example of Adam and Eve, is that what Eve did to Adam?
There's a doctrine called primogeniture, and it deals with the firstborn. And so the firstborn male, for example, has certain rights and privileges in the Jewish economy in the Old Testament than did the rest of the members born after him. He is the federal head, which means in Adam all die. Romans 5:12, not in Eve, even though Eve is the one who sinned first. Satan went to her. Satan did not go through the man as he should have gone through, and then went to Eve and got her to eat the fruit, disobeyed. Then she gave it to Adam, and then he disobeyed. And so she sinned first, he sinned second, but sin entered the world through Adam. Furthermore, after they both hid themselves, the pre-incarnate Christ came and said to the man, "Where are you?" And didn't say to Adam and Eve, and didn't say to her, but addressed the man, because he's the one who's ultimately responsible.
Number 2.
I've had a big stomach my entire adult life, and I wondered what your take is on gluttony.
It's a sinful dedication and overindulgence to food. It can be used in other senses of other things, gluttonous as far as getting money and power and things like that. But generally speaking, it's extraordinary and excessive dedication to feeding yourself overindulgence when it's not necessary and it's habitual, that's not what we want. And that's sinful to our own bodies. And it's also gluttonous when we have the ability to feed others who are in need and we desire, instead of giving where it's needed, we keep it for ourselves so that we can just feed our own stomachs and feed our own needs. That would be sinful gluttony. I understand your pain. I have a daughter who, same kind of thing. I can't even repeat how far she's gone away from God. It's not for Christian radio. My wife and I taught her and taught, there's no guarantees, okay? Except when once we're saved. So, I don't know if your son was really saved at 5. I'm not saying he was, not saying he wasn't. If he really was, God will deal with him and either kill him and take him home out of 1 Corinthians 5 to save his soul, or let him have his sin to teach him a lesson, and then he'll repent. Or he really wasn't saved, and we'll find out what happens. Either way, the job that we have as parents is to trust God.
And now, the end is near.
So long, farewell, I'll be just saying adieu.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.